1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's talk about something on a positive note. Let's go to the Word of God and talk about love. Self-sacrificing, self-denying, in some ways self-harming love. I know that's not a good word, and even with the psychological community, it's not good when somebody talks about self-harm, but if I can love someone to the point where it actually harms me, where I have the ability to patiently endure wrong from them, I'm probably as close to Christ as you could be. Because that's what he did. That's what he did. To the point of crucifixion. I'll be honest with you. Well, this will probably happen to you. Ed, I'm not sure if it's happened to you. It probably happened to you too.
But if you spit in my face, it's coming. At least back when I was a trooper. That's the dirtiest, most nasty insult that anyone could ever put on you, is to haul off and spit in your face. I watched it happen one time to a trooper. And we stopped what would have happened after it happened. That girl was calling him
every name in the book. She used the N-word 100 times. We could hear her screaming at him inside of the car when he backed into the barrack to bring her in. And I'll never forget when he reached across in front of her to unbuckle that seatbelt because she was handcuffed behind. She was drunk. She went and spit right on his side of his face. She got what was coming to her.
How many times was Jesus spit on?
Yes, sir.
And not only did he not strike back, he said nothing. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Could not do it. I don't care how sanctified I get. I don't think I could do it.
Yet he did it. He was punched. Said they struck him. Who hit you? Spit on him. And then beat him until there wasn't one square inch of flesh on his body, front, back, top, or bottom, that wasn't laid open by the whip. Because the Bible said when you looked at him, you didn't even know it was a man. And I've seen people like that. Just their face. I've never seen one with their whole body like that, though. Never seen that. And he did that. That's charity. As a matter of fact, that transcends Paul's charity, I believe. Because I don't think we're capable of that kind of love, even with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because we still have an old nature that won't let us go there. I think someday we'll have that capability. I believe when we get our new mind and our new heart, I believe when God rids us of our old nature.
Brother Doug Weed's experiencing that right now. And I envy him for that. I actually envy him. I think that's a good thing to envy. I envy him for that. He's been rid of that. It's gone. I look forward to that.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me just read one verse before I go to where we want to go. Got a lot of Greek definitions today because there's no way around it. I don't particularly like going to the Greek a lot. I don't, but sometimes you just got to do it. You got to do it. And this is one of those places where I think you got to do it to help us understand what he's about to say in this chapter. So I had to do it. Verse 31 of chapter 12 says, "But covet earnestly." I'll be honest with you. To use the word covet in a positive sense is a difficult thing to do. And I personally believe this is the only place that we could possibly use it and get away with it as Christians. To covet something and God honor that coveting. And here he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." Because remember now, he lays them out in order. He lays them out in order, and the first three are very significant, and the last of the four of those gifts are gone. "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way of life for you as Christians." These people were coming to church to fight. I can't imagine a church like that. I can honestly say that I personally have never been in an assembly like that, where they actually came to church to fight with each other and devour each other. James talks about it. There were churches back then that were doing it. Apparently more than one, because James had to address it. Yeah. They were tearing each other apart. And he says, "And yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And then he begins chapter 13. And that's, we all know that as the chapter of charity, of love. Christ honoring, Christ mimicking love. Self-sacrificial love. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal." Just noise. Noise. This is a noisy society, isn't it? Just noisy. It's just, they got to have loud motorcycles. They got to have loud trucks. They got to have loud stereos. They got to have a loud this, loud that. Noise, 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 noise. Sometimes I'll come over here and I'll sit down by the fellowship hall and just watch those birds fly around out there and wonder how much of that mess they hear. It's quiet over here. Actually, it is. I'm sure it's quiet up on the mountain. I'm sure it's quiet sometimes, really quiet sometimes at your place. Just the noise. "Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, though I have all faith." Now, trust me, these people don't have all these things. Paul, when he was correcting them at times, was a bit sarcastic. Remember when he said, "You guys know everything?" When they didn't? Because a few verses later, he said, "You don't? You don't have the knowledge that you think you have?" And he says here, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand," and he's using himself, but he's talking to them. Okay? Because these people think they've arrived. They have these gifts, and they have arrived. "And understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity," he says, "I am nothing." Nothing. I am nothing. I have listened to some amazing preachers in my time come through Maranatha. And I'll be honest with you, some of their messages, you just kind of rode along on every word when they were standing here. And you know where I'm going with it. But when they hit here, They were some of the most arrogant men that I've ever met in my life. Yeah. That wouldn't give you the time of day. Mm-hmm. And you know what my thinking is? Double-minded. My thinking is, where is this charity? Now, don't get me wrong. There were some blessed men who could have been big shots. I'll tell you one who was. Bennett Collins. You know who I'm talking about. How about you know who Bennett Collins was? He was the song leader for Oliver B. Green. How about you know who Oliver B. Green was? He was Oliver B. Green's song leader through all of his travels. And then Bennett Collins became an evangelist. And man, could he preach. And I could sit there. It didn't matter how long he went. I was there, man. I could sit there. But then when Bennett Collins got out of the pulpit and came out into the folks and he talked to you, it was like somebody had been a member of your church for 25 years and he was talking to you. He was talking to you. I established a wonderful relationship with him. Why? Because I could. Because he let me. I remember asking him questions and going, "Brother Collins, I don't want to take up your time, but I have a spiritual question." Boom! It didn't matter who he was talking to or what other big shots were in the church, and we had quite a few of them come through there. Whew. He was on you. Brother Winstead was the same way. Some other men that came through there that were the same way. You not only were blessed by what they said from the pulpit, you were blessed by how they loved you when they hit the floor. And that's what he says here. He says, if I got all of this and I don't love, I'm nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. You ladies can put on your dresses. We men can put on our suits. You can tote that King James Bible. And if you come through that door back there and there isn't charity in your heart, you're nothing. Amen. And I'm nothing. I can study all week long. I can spend 40 hours in the Bible, bring you a message that'll stand you on your ear. And if I come out of that pulpit and I can't love you for one reason or another, I'm nothing. And I got to work on that. Because I haven't arrived. And I ain't alone, no. Am I?
We're all there.
I ain't alone. See, that's what Paul's trying to get across in this right here. That's what Paul's trying to get across to these people who came to church to fight. To fight. There's a time to fight. And it's going to rhyme. And it's for the right. Okay? Biblically. But if it's just right for my preference, color paint, color of carpet, service times, whatever, there's where I'm wrong. There's where I'm wrong. Does that make sense? We stand on right when it comes to the Word of God. We eat it if it's anything else. That's hard. That's really hard. Really hard. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I know we're going back over this again, but I this chapter's kind of working on me, kind of like, you know, I told you this morning, I love John chapter 4. I love that chapter. And the more I look at this chapter, it's like, man, I love this chapter too. Because Paul says here, Paul says, I am nothing. This isn't the first time Paul has said, I'm nothing. In me dwelleth no good thing. Paul said that. Oh, wretch that I am, who can deliver me from my old nature? And he knew the answer to that. Jesus Christ. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give this next one, honestly, I'm still struggling with that next part of that sentence. And though I give my body to be burned, that's the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? But then there's a comma there and it says, and have not charity, it means nothing. It means nothing. Even though I'm willing to do that, I'm willing to do that. I can honestly say that, particularly in defending you, if the need ever arose, one way or another, I would be willing to give my body to be burned, shot, stabbed, whatever. But then I have to ask myself, what is my motivation? Is it duty and honor? Because see, when I raised my right hand, that was all about duty and honor. You know what I mean? Is it duty and honor? Or is it this? Because this is different. This is way different than duty and honor. This goes way beyond it. This goes to Christ, which we have gone so far from. And have not charity, it means nothing. It profiteth me nothing. It is vain, empty. Charity suffereth long and is kind. The next four verses, verse 4 to verse 7, deal with interpersonal relationships within the church, because that is what Paul's dealing with in Corinth. Should we have these characteristics in our lives when it comes to those that are without? Yes, but where does it have to start? It has to start here. And if the Corinthian believers were ripping each other apart and coming to church to fight, what was their testimony in the community? What was their testimony in the community? It couldn't have been good. What was happening in the church had to have bled out into the community. That's a problem. Charity suffereth long. It's long-suffering. It has the ability to take wrong. What wrong could we possibly experience today? Somebody talking about you. Somebody talking about me. I've been slandered recently. Probably quite a bit for my stand on some things. But my attitude should be, I love you regardless of what you say about me. Man, that's hard. That is so hard. Charity suffereth long and is kind. See, along with the long-suffering, what he's saying is, you suffer, and you're kind for your suffering. Get it? Yeah. I mean, I don't mind suffering, but don't ask me to be kind back. I mean, I'll keep my yap shut, but let me at least sit there and stew about it. Let me at least boil a little bit. Come on. Right? No. Charity is long-suffering and is kind in return for the suffering that is brought to you. That's what that's saying.
Charity envieth not. Sometimes good things happen to good people, and we're happy. And good things happen to what? To folks that I guess we could think in our minds aren't good. I guess we should probably leave that up to the Lord, who's good and who's not. There's none righteous, no, not one. I guess I ought to throw myself right into that. But he says here, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. These two right here towards the end of this are specifically talking about pride. And we all struggle with this. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, which is what the whole which was at the root of the Corinthians' problem. It says, does not behave itself unseemly in an inappropriate manner. Seeketh not her own. I think an easy way to seek my own would be to correct the slander that has been directed towards me. Because after all, it's not right. It's inaccurate. It's not true. Oh, man. Lately, I tell you, I've gotten blamed for so many things I had nothing to do with. But I'm the bad guy. Because you got to have a bad guy. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's been teaching me through this. If I want you to be the bad guy, you're going to be the bad guy. And you're going to suffer through it as long as I decide you need to. I hope it's not long. But that builds what in a life? It builds a love, and it also builds patience. Because I already told God I don't want to be in a hospital. So he's going about it another way that I think's harder. And he says here, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. As soon as I found out recently that someone had slandered me, my first gut, and I'm serious, gut reaction was, you know, blood pressure goes off a little bit. You get that hot feeling right here in your cheeks. And you just want to say something, you know? And my problem is a lot of times I don't govern this quick enough. The Lord's getting good at telling me, shut up. That's what he says. Shut up. Don't say it. Don't go there. Yes. Killed to death. And we can go there if we want. Then we have to suffer the consequences, don't we? Yeah. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Man, we could camp on this one, and I'll tell you why. Because we're always assuming. We live a life of assumptions. We live consistently, constantly in a bowl of assumptions. So-and-so is doing this because of this. So-and-so said that because of that. When we have no earthly clue whatsoever, we simply assume, and I'm the worst at this, at assuming the worst. It happened to me this week. I said, this is going to happen, and it didn't happen. And then I said, this is going to happen, and it didn't happen because I was assuming it would happen. And I was always assuming the worst. It almost sounds like coming together for the... Yeah. Thinketh no evil.
thinketh no evil. You know what? You know what I want to stop doing? I want to stop assuming.
Yes, sir.
I want to stop assuming. Because all I do is get myself worked up when I assume something. Yep. So-and-so didn't say anything to me the other night. Why? Are they mad at me? And if you let that bounce around in your cranium long enough, yes, you will deceive yourself into believing your assumption. Then it becomes fact, and they're mad at me, and they don't like me when it's not even true. And here I am, mad at them and don't like them because I think they don't like me and are mad at me. Duh, crazy, huh? But let me tell you something. Am I alone in this?
No.
I guess if I am, you guys are probably going to vote tomorrow. Get rid of me. But I'm just trying to help you because I can't be alone. I can't be alone. We're all made out of the same stuff. And it starts at that front row right there. It goes all the way through and ends right here. Our problem is, I think in a lot of churches, and this is what I want to get us away from. I want to get me away from. I want to get us away from. I don't want to be a church like this. I don't want to be a church like this. But when you first read the book and you look at our name, you look at their name, you know, the Church of Corinth. Some people, I guess, have named their churches the Church of Corinth. I would never do that. But we say, well, we're not them. We're not there. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. To this degree, no. But in God's eyes, are there degrees? You see, that whole degree thing came from the Catholic Church. That whole degree thing. This is bad. This isn't so bad. This is bad. This is worse. This is worse. This, you'll never go to heaven if you do it. You know, that whole thing. That came from them. I'm going to blame them for that. With no apology. A couple thousand years of that, and it's actually permeated everything. Including us. We think there's degrees. There's no degrees. If there's even a little bit of Corinth in us, we're there. We're living on the isthmus. We're there. The temples surround us. We're there. If there's just a tiny bit of this. Because with God, there is no degree. Any of it that enters my heart. And I could put my arm around one of them and say, I know where you're at. And if we can't, we're borderline on the Pharisees. And I definitely don't want to go there. Because the minute I become a Pharisee, I'm in really, really, really big trouble. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Well, they finally got theirs. But rejoiceth in the truth. And then last week we got to beareth all things. The ability to bear these things. Where's my notes on last week? There it is. And it's not so much, because he's already talked about taking things. He's already talked about seeking not my own, not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Here in this beareth all things, all of the old men of God who wrote about this talked about covers all things, covers things. A covering, a roof to hide, to conceal. And the key is the very last part of the Greek definition. Not make known. You know what? There's some things we just don't need to repeat. There's some things we just don't need to repeat. There's some things that if we hear them, they don't need to go any further. They need to die right there. Right there. On the spot. They don't need to go any further. There's a way to deal with those things at the time. It's found in Matthew chapter 18. But he says, beareth all things. And that word in the original goes back to not make known, to hide, to conceal, to cover. And not in a bad way. It means that I'm just going to keep that to myself. Because I want the best for them. And if it means I got to keep something to myself, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to help them, but I'm going to do it. Believeth all things, and we talked about that as well. That's to believe the best before we believe the worst. And I'm staying on this for a while because I believe that we need this chapter. We so desperately need this. I need this chapter in my heart, in my life. I need this. I need to think the best, not the worst. And so often, that's the case. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Assume the best. The most positive, and I don't think you'll go wrong. I won't go wrong. Accept the worst only after it's been proven to be true and literally has to be dealt with. But if it doesn't have to be dealt with, then we go back to bearing it. Does that make sense? If we're not going to deal with it, if you say to yourself, I'm just going to let that go, then you know what? Let it go. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Believe without suspicion. Don't jump on a bandwagon. In our day and age, usually if somebody tells you something, they got an axe to grind. Mm-hmm. Always give the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. Believe all things. Because this isn't talking about believing the Bible. This is talking about interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. Hopeth all things. This is the best definition. I can't take credit for this now. I found this definition, so I can't take credit for something that's not mine, but it just jumped right off the page. Hopeth all things when it comes to interpersonal relationships. You ready for this? Hope what is good of another, even when all others have ceased to hope. Hope what is good of another, even when all others have ceased to hope. Never give up on someone. They're a lost cause.
I've said it.
They're a lost cause.
No.
Hope, even when all others have seemed to hope. And that comes with each other. And then let's finish this verse. Endureth all things. Now, this doesn't mean the same thing as beareth all things. Because why would God say these four different things? He said them because they're different. The bearing was the covering. The enduring is more what you would think when you read the word bearing. But it's the word enduring. And it means to suffer without resistance. Because if you're going to make me suffer, I'm going to resist. In whatever way I can to push back against that. Okay? And the thought of this particular word here is this. To suffer without resistance.
Who did that? Who did that? Pilate was shocked. You're going to stand there?
You're going to stand there? And trust me, there was more said to Jesus by Pilate than what the Bible's given us. There is. Pilate did not want to do that. And I guarantee you, he said, you're going to stand there. You're going to let them accuse you. You're going to take this. Give me something to stop this.
And what did Jesus say?
Nothing. 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 Who does that? Who does that? Who says nothing when they're falsely accused?
Look, if you accuse me of wrong and I did it, you know, I'm number one, there's nothing to say. I did it. But if you accuse me of wrong and I didn't do it, I'm going to resist you. Yet, verse 7 says,
endureth, what is the next word? All things. All means all, and that's all means. So what do I got to eat? I got to eat it all. And if I want to be like Christ, I got to keep my yap shut. And I look at that verse and I say, can you do that? Because you know what gives you the ability to do that? The word we've been talking about all through the chapter. Charity. Charity. Love. The ability to love when someone would seek to rip every inch of hide off of you and you still have the ability to love them. And when I say rip the hide off of you, I mean verbally as well as physically. Because we're not ripping each other apart in here physically. But we're good at ripping each other apart with this. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I see four things, and I see four alls. Four alls. For those four things that are to determine how we are to interact with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's not a church on the face of this earth that fully carries this out. Not a one. Not a one.
And we wonder why that tank's not full more often. That's why. I believe that's why. I'm just going to start the first part of verse 8 and we're going to close. Charity never fails. Never is a very strong word. I've often said, don't ever say never when it comes to this life. Don't ever say never. I would never do that. I would never say that. I would never, I would never. And you know what? You end up doing and saying what you said you would never do.
But this is the word of God. This is divinely inspired text. This is Paul speaking through the inspiration of none other than the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, the words of God, Thus saith the Lord, charity never fails. Let's pray.